afternoon. It is really a pleasure to participate in this panel this afternoon and to have had, thank you, Dennis. Yes, I'm not the 6 foot six. Don't have that challenge. It's really a pleasure to participate in this panel this afternoon. Again, my name is Nadine Gracia, and I'm the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Minority Health and Director of the Office of Minority Health at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And would like to spend some time talking with you certainly about the Affordable Care Act and new opportunities for disparities reduction and health equity, where Dennis really focused on specific provisions. What I'd like to do within this talk is talk about some of the progress that we have made, talk about some of the ways in which our department has really framed our disparities and equity work, and then certainly afterwards engage in a dialogue with all of you. No relationships that I have to disclose. For an outline, as I mentioned, talking about the ACA and impact on health disparities and health equity, and also talking about the HHS action plan to reduce racial and ethnic health disparities. So just to provide a little bit of background on our office, the Office of Minority Health, our mission is to improve the health of racial and ethnic minorities by really developing and establishing policies and programs that will help to eliminate health disparities. And we do that through five core functions in awareness and promoting data collection through our partnerships and networks, by developing and or influencing policy programs and practices, as well as fostering research, funding demonstration projects to test new and innovative models towards addressing health disparities, and also evaluating programs and practices so that we can identify those promising approaches and hopefully lead to additional spread and scalability of those programs. Our strategic priorities are supporting the development and implementation of the provisions of the Affordable Care Act that address disparities and equity. Also to lead the implementation of our department's Disparities Action Plan, as well as a third strategic priority, which is coordinating the National Partnership for Action to End Health Disparities and the National Stakeholder Strategy for Achieving Health Equity. This third strategic priority, which I'm happy to talk about in more depth during the Q&A portion of our session, is really our public-private partnership, a nationwide movement towards combating health disparities, utilizing a social determinants of health approach, and recognizing the importance of community engagement as we address health disparities and health equity. So when we talk about certainly the impact of the Affordable Care Act on health disparities and health equity, and this also frames, as you'll see, some of the actions and strategies that we have undertaken within our department, in particular through the lens of our Disparities Action Plan. We know in particular the ending of insurance discrimination, making health insurance more affordable, making preventive services more affordable and accessible, as well as increasing the number of providers in underserved communities, really addressing several of the barriers such as disparities in access to care, disparities in health insurance itself, but also in enhancing the diversity and cultural competency of the workforce, improving data collection and reporting standards, and strengthening the HHS minority health infrastructure as really important ways in which this law, which really stands to be one of the most important pieces of legislation towards addressing health disparities, is such a critical aspect of the work that we are doing certainly all across the department. If we look at, for example, some of the ways in which we're already seeing the impact of the Affordable Care Act on minority populations, we can look at expanded insurance coverage. We know certainly from studies, including the Institute of Medicine, that lack of health insurance coverage is one of the most significant drivers of health disparities. And so because of provisions of the law, for example, enabling young adults to stay on their parents' insurance until the age of 26, we have seen many young adults of color who have been able to access health insurance. And looking at who is eligible and in particular through the health insurance marketplace, we see as well that minority populations truly stand to benefit when it comes to the impact of the Affordable Care Act and expanding access to insurance coverage. If we look at preventive benefits, and this is important certainly as we think about health status of minority populations, that minorities are less likely to get the preventive services that are needed to stay healthy for a multitude of reasons, but one of those reasons includes cost, that looking at key preventive benefits, for example, from the Affordable Care Act, in which now recommended preventive services such as blood pressure screenings, cancer screenings, immunizations that are provided at no cost, no co-pays or deductibles, again, seeing the number of minority populations that are benefiting from this, whether on private insurance plans or Medicare. What the Affordable Care Act also did was strengthen the HHS minority health infrastructure across the department. And as many of you know, the Affordable Care Act established and or codified offices of minority health in six agencies across HHS, new offices of minority health, for example, at the Food and Drug Administration, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and my colleague, Dr. Kara James, who's here, is the director of that office. It also elevated the National Center on Minority Health and Health Disparities to a full-fledged NIH institute. The role that our office plays with these other agency offices of minority health is to work together, certainly in the implementation of the HHS Disparities Action Plan, coming together on cross-cutting issues regarding minority health and health disparities, so that we can maximize our impact across our agencies as well as at the department level. We have a Health Disparities Council, a department-wide council that is co-chaired by the Assistant Secretary for Health and Assistant Secretary for Planning and Evaluation. As you'll see, it includes representatives from agencies and offices all across the department, so not solely the offices of minority health, but includes offices and agencies that have critical programs and policies that impact the health of minority populations. And this is a council that is important as we certainly implement our Disparities Action Plan, but also look towards future policies and programs that will help to improve minority health. I've alluded to the HHS Action Plan to reduce racial and ethnic health disparities under the leadership of our Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. 2 years ago, we released our first ever Disparities Action Plan, the first time that we have had a department-wide strategy towards addressing health disparities, addressing five particular goal areas. And really, these goal areas and the strategies within those goal areas built upon our knowledge from the literature as to what are some of the key strategies towards addressing disparities. But this Disparities Action Plan was also importantly built on the foundation of the Affordable Care Act, recognizing the important opportunity that was presented through the ACA, that having this Disparities Action Plan that would help us in furthering its efforts was critical to certainly addressing the Secretary's priority in eliminating health disparities. What I'd like to do, and this is really a snapshot of actions that are happening across the department in our various agencies and offices as we implement the HHS Disparities Action Plan, as we move forward with the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, is to give you a snapshot of some of those programs and how agencies have taken these priorities into their programs and policies. For example, looking at policies and programs and resource decisions to reduce health disparities. So looking specifically at the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, or SAMHSA, where through the leadership of their Office of Behavioral Health Equity, that is the name of their Office of Minority Health, that they have actually begun to incorporate health disparity impact statements into their grant programs. They started with a pilot program in the last fiscal year, in fiscal 13. They implemented that across their new grant programs, basically articulating that grantees or grant applicants must articulate how their programs will be able to address and reduce health disparities and utilize data, for example, to really implement strategies to decrease the differences in access, service use, and outcomes among those populations. And they have already seen from the pilots improved focus, if you will, on these subpopulations, as well as training and enhanced partnerships towards addressing health disparities. The Food and Drug Administration likewise has looked at one of its policies and programs, which is specifically a communication plan for underrepresented populations, again here led by the FDA's Office of Minority Health, in which under one of its regulations, its statutes, it was required to, the agency was required to review its communication plan to inform and educate healthcare providers and patients on the risks and benefits of medical products, specifically on underrepresented populations. And it articulated that the principles of the HHS Disparities Action Plan should be adhered to. And so the FDA was really able to look at their communications activities and how they can work towards improving outreach and communications towards minority populations, including key areas such as limited English proficiency, health literacy, and a need to do targeted outreach. When we look at the goal area of transforming healthcare, certainly that bridges and ties to the Affordable Care Act and our work there, reducing disparities in access to care, and our Health Resources and Services Administration really is taking a great deal of leadership in this area. Dennis spoke about the investments, for example, in community health centers. So through the Affordable Care Act, the investments in new access point programs to fund new community health center delivery sites. And this being critically important because we know that, for example, in 2010, of the 19.5 million patients that were served in federally qualified community health centers, more than half were racial and ethnic minorities. So HRSA having significant investments into these community health centers. Also in the area of reducing disparities in access to primary care services and health and care coordination, again, what was highlighted previously was the Innovation Center through the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, where there are healthcare innovation awards, really looking at implementing projects to address better health care delivery, improved care, and lower costs, and several of these projects that are focusing on health disparities in minority populations across the country. Under the second goal area, which is workforce, one of our key strategies being to address the cultural competency of the workforce, our office, the Office of Minority Health, along with our partners, released the enhanced national standards for culturally and linguistically appropriate services in health and healthcare, also known as the CLASS standards, earlier this year, really providing a framework, a blueprint for health and healthcare organizations to implement culturally and linguistically appropriate services. And ways in which we have advanced these standards include really moving them into policies and programs, funding opportunity announcements within our department, for example, the Navigator Program, where in the Navigator Program funding opportunity announcement in the federally facilitated and state partnership marketplace, that calls for adherence to the CLASS standards, that advocates for cultural linguistic competency, certainly in the outreach and education and enrollment that is done in the health insurance marketplace, and that just being one example of the incorporation of these standards. Also within the workforce area, what's already been alluded to has been the investments in the workforce itself, certainly examples such as the National Health Service Corps, which is administered by the Health Resources and Services Administration. We have seen a tripling of the commissioned corps, the number of clinicians in the corps over the last 3 years. And when we look at the diversity of the National Health Service Corps, you see, for example, that the actual diversity in the corps is greater than when we look at national physician workforces, for example. So if you look at Latino physicians, who represent just about 5.5% of the national physician workforce, they represent 16% of the number of core physicians. And so looking again at an opportunity where we can bring physicians to underserved and vulnerable communities, but also reflecting that we have a diverse and culturally competent group of clinicians that are also serving these populations. There are other investments certainly being made in training healthcare providers in the community, training primary care, as we know, really a core and critical component towards addressing health disparities. The Office for Civil Rights has been an important partner for us in the department, and certainly in their work to advance health equity and reduce disparities. They, in particular, have taken great leadership with regards to the issue of language access. They've actually had a partnership with the American Hospital Association called the Effective Communication in Hospitals Initiative, where they're training hospital administrators and staff on really the applicable federal anti-discrimination laws to help hospitals communicate effectively, whether it's with limited English proficient patients or those who have disabilities and need additional communication supports and needs, such as those who are deaf or hard of hearing. And you see that that the Office for Civil Rights has been doing quite a bit of technical assistance and training around the country to really advance this action and priority. When we look at the diversity of the workforce, the National Institutes of Health in particular has taken a leading role in particular with regards to the research workforce and in addressing health disparities. Some of their more recent work in particular has been funding opportunity announcements in this last fiscal year to address the pipeline. And so looking at undergraduate students through junior faculty level to provide mentoring opportunities, to provide career advancement opportunities, and in supporting academic institutions to be able to address certainly this important area of workforce diversity. In our third goal area, which is advancing the health, safety, and well-being of the American people, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has been addressing reducing disparities in population health, because we certainly recognize that it's not only the healthcare setting, whether it's hospitals and clinics, where disparities are contributors to disparities, but also looking at the broader social determinants of health. And what has been mentioned certainly are the community transformation grants that have been awarded through the Affordable Care Act, really to address some key areas and community-level programs to prevent chronic diseases, of which we see many of those chronic conditions that minorities are disproportionately impacted. And then in our fourth goal area, it addresses research and data, and then the importance of certainly ongoing data collection and analysis so that we can identify disparities, that we can address disparities through this data collection and analysis that will help us to test innovative and new models for reducing health disparities and achieving equity. And here where Section 4302 of the Affordable Care Act called for new data collection standards, and our department released those data standards in October of 2011, providing additional granularity in race and ethnicity, but also data standards on sex, primary language, and disability status. Great work that is continuing and building off of having these types of data standards and understanding the importance of really doing having data disaggregation among minority populations is a new partnership between our office and CDC's National Center for Health Statistics, in which there will be, for the first time ever, a Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander National Health Interview Survey that will kick off in early 2014. Really to help us in gathering more data and have a better understanding of the health status of a smaller size yet important population of the Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander population. And then to the point about patient-centered outcome research, our Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, certainly under the leadership of their Office of Minority Health, has also been looking at ways to really increase the adoption and dissemination of interventions on patient-centered outcomes research. And in the last fiscal year, ARC actually released and announced a funding opportunity announcement on closing the gap in healthcare disparities by really helping to disseminate and implement patient-centered outcomes research and recognizing the importance of community engagement and engagement of minority communities in that process. Our fifth and final goal area is looking at the efficiency and accountability of our programs. Here is where our Assistant Secretary for Planning and Evaluation, as we work our office in conjunction with them as we monitor and evaluate the implementation of the Disparities Action Plan, in which we launched the Health System Measurement Project in 2012, that ASPE launched this project in 2012, allowing access to data on racial and ethnic minorities in the U.S. health system so that we can actually monitor and look at indicators that indicate that we are basically in the right direction and with regards to disparities reduction efforts, and to be able to look at that data at the national level, regional, state, and state levels, and having basically different tabs and indicators like access to care, population health, the workforce, and prevention, and having that data being publicly available for states and other entities to be able to utilize. So I will stop there, but this really is an unprecedented time for our department in which we have such a broad range of action and activity and certainly leadership through not only the Offices of Minority Health that have been established through the Affordable Care Act, but really across the department and agency to address really the goals of our Disparities Action Plan, which is that this will be a nation free of disparities in health and health care, and recognizing certainly the importance and the foundation that the Affordable Care Act provides in attaining and achieving that vision and goal. Thank you.